Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. I'm here with David Filson, who's teaching pastor at Christ Presbyterian, PCA, in Nashville, Tennessee. We have a great book in front of us that David's going to be speaking about. It's titled The Theology of Augustine, An Introductory Guide to His Most Important Works, written by Matthew Levering and published by Baker Academic. David, tell us about this book.
I'm really excited about this book. Matthew Levering is professor of theology at the University of Dayton, and he is a Roman Catholic scholar. And so this book is written from the perspective of a Roman Catholic scholar, but there's a lot in here for Reformed folk who want to become better acquainted with Augustine. I think a lot of guys sort of get their Augustine second and third and fourth hand, and maybe you know three or four quotations that sort of become recycled throughout a lot of secondary literature. But maybe for some of us, if we were honest, we'd say we've not had an opportunity maybe to read that much in the primary sources. And even if we did, wouldn't quite know where to begin because Augustine wrote something like 113 treatises, over 200 extant letters, more than 500 extant sermons. And so it's really daunting to even know where to dive in, and some might feel like they need to give up before they even get started. But we need to read Augustine because he was so crucial, not just to the development of theology among the early fathers, but you know, in the medieval period, you know, Lombard sentences, a good portion of that was drawn from Augustine. The Puritans, interestingly, quoted Augustine more than they quoted Calvin, and would often call him Austin. I guess it's sort of shorthand for Augustine.
Yeah.
His friends called him Austin, I guess. Anyway, you know, Warfield said in his book on Calvin and Augustine, this is on pages 321 to 22, and then in the Studies in Tertullian and Augustine, same essay, which is in that 10-volume set, volume 4, that 10-volume set, he said, for the Reformation, inwardly considered, was just the ultimate triumph of Augustine's doctrine of grace over Augustine's doctrine of the church. And so the importance of Augustine for the development of Reformed thought probably can't be overstated. You know, for Luther and Calvin, their doctrines of justification, for Calvin and his treatments of predestination and sanctification, heavily influenced by Augustine. In fact, you know, Calvin, when he was writing on the predestination of the saints, said that his whole confession of faith regarding predestination, he could take all of the writings of Augustine and quote wholesale from Augustine and make his entire confession of faith about predestination totally from the writings of Augustine. And so it's just very, very important. You know, Anthony Lane, in his book, Calvin, Student of the Church Fathers, points out that he quoted Augustine in his commentaries, his treatises, institutes, etc., more than any other theologian in the history of the church. Augustine's crucial. It's crucial to Calvin's doctrine of accommodation with regard to Scripture and the way God speaks and how that applies to the inspiration of Scripture. It was Calvin who said, Augustinius totus noster es, you know, Augustine is ours. So crucial. And what Matthew Levering has done here is say that amidst all of the things that Augustine has written, and there's no way to master all of it or to even think you're going to be able to read all of it in a lifetime, he says there are seven works that one must know. And those seven works are, according to Levering, On Christian Doctrine, which is written 396 to 97, and then finished in 426, and Answer to Faustus, a Manichaean, that was written 397 to 98. Those are essentially works, Levering says, on hermeneutics and the doctrine of Scripture. You even see Augustine in his reply to Faustus really doing redemptive historical sort of covenantal continuity between the Old and the New Testament, which the Manichaeans were denying, and Augustine's bringing that out. So hermeneutics, doctrine of Scripture, for those two works, two other works, homilies of the first epistle of John, which Augustine did in 407, and on the predestination of the saints, which he did 428-29, and both of those deal with grace and salvation and how that leads to living a life of love. The confessions, as you might imagine, which was autobiographical in a sense, but also something of a spiritual biography showing the goal of the creature in love with the creator, having that properly ordered love. Augustine did that, 397 to 401. Levering also says we need to know the city of God, which we can talk about a little bit more here in a second. And then finally, on the Trinity, which he wrote 399 to 419.
So he's providing an introduction to Augustine through seven of his most important works then?
It's sort of a 30,000 feet flyover of those seven works and a summary, sort of a cliff notes. Each chapter is sort of a cliff notes on one of those seven works.
Okay.
And that I think would be, if a person is wanting to read, say, on the Trinity, it would be great to go to Levering, read his chapter, and then move into the actual primary source.
Mm-hmm. That's quite useful. And then you get access directly to the important parts of Augustine, his key works, but also hopefully a good understanding of his context and way of thinking so that you can enter into the primary text with an understanding of what's going on and somewhat of a head start.
Right. And I think Levering is trying to take these seven works, not only because they are such prominent or important works, like the seven works you must know, he also is attempting to tease out the sort of Trinitarian life of love, of connection, you know, Christians living a life of love, which is enabled by the Trinity, the grace of the Father, Son, and Spirit in the life of the Christian, living that love out among the community of the faith, which is the church. Now, I will say this, Levering's, you know, Roman Catholic, and so there are places in the book where his, you know, Roman Catholic ecclesiology will come out. But I don't think it's the kind of thing that would be in any way off-putting to folks of more reformed sensibilities by any stretch. I think people would really welcome this as a great tool to get into Augustine.
Interesting. So who do you think this is aimed at then? Are people with theological education, is this too introductory for them, or is this good for all different types of people? Who would you say ought to read this book or would find it valuable?
At first, I would say thoughtful lay people who have an interest in church history and historical theology and are interested in Augustine, but maybe they don't know that much about him. At the same time, I think it would be great for college courses, seminary courses. I mean, I would certainly assign this if I were doing an elective on Augustine because it is thorough. It is thorough. It's a good, again, this is not, these aren't like little dictionary entries on these seven works. These are substantive chapters on each of these seven works that give you really a summary, kind of outline summary, annotated summary of each of those works. I think theology students, seminary students would love this. I think it could be, I mean, as I look at a lot of the things that I have on Augustine in my own library, and Augustine's always been, I think, as I look at the books that I have, I've spent a lot of money on books on Augustine. And this is unique in a sense because I don't know of any other things that deal with specific treatises of Augustine. I have works that deal with Augustine's theology from a topical perspective, like Augustine on various topics. But this is unique, and it deals with these seven major works. And it's more helpful, I think, than, for instance, the Augustine Through the Ages encyclopedia that Fitzgerald edited years ago, because it's going to be so much more thorough on those seven works than that encyclopedia can be.
So what books should you read in conjunction with this? Should you go in order, in the order that Levering presents the works of Augustine, or is it just meant to be sort of a handbook, or is this kind of a programmatic suggestion for study?
Well, I think, now I don't want to speak for Levering. It seems to me he's doing something programmatic here in that he is wanting to emphasize the role of the Christian living out a life of love enabled by the Father, Son, and Spirit, and in effect imitating the grace of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's why even where he begins with On Christian Doctrine and Answer to Faustus, which are books dealing more with hermeneutic and sort of a doctrine of Scripture, a kind of thing, he quickly then moves into, once he's laid down those principles of interpretation, which principles of interpretation he ties into the concept of love. For instance, he says the reason that God, on Christian Doctrine, Levering says that Augustine says the reason that God gives us human teachers is because in community with human teachers, learning from human teachers who are teaching us how to interpret Scripture, what the interpretation of Scripture is, etc., we are being loved by them, and we are learning to love others as we learn to teach and as we learn to interpret Scripture. So I think that is something of his program. And then even when you get into his treatment of Augustine's homilies on the first epistle of John, he shows how those homilies were preached around Easter in 407. And the context for Augustine was him responding to the Donatist situation. And in effect, using his homilies on the first epistle of John to call the Donatists to be more loving to the Traditores. You know, and you know the background there with the Donatist controversy and Diocletian and Emperor Diocletian and so forth. So love is certainly a kind of a programmatic theme throughout every one of these things. But then he does move into those three major works. What I think anyone would say are the three major works of Augustine, which are Confession, City of God, and On the Trinity. And in all three of those, again, I think you see the programmatic nature of this, because what he's trying to do with those three works is show how Augustine grounds all three of those in light of Trinitarian reality and the development of properly attenuated love as having God as its ultimate, all-controlling, sort of all-regulating object, kind of Edwardsian. Those folks who are familiar with Jonathan Edwards and his sort of theology of happiness and enlarged self-love and love to being in general and that sort of thing, loving God simply considered. I mean, when you read passages out of this little book by Levering, I kept thinking of the correlation between Augustine and Edwards, and which is good. I was thankful for that because I'm contributing the entry for the Jonathan Edwards Encyclopedia that Yale is doing. I think they're doing it in conjunction with Erdman's, but I'm doing the entry on Augustine and Augustinianism in Edwards, and it just jumps out everywhere.
Oh, wow.
His doctrine of happiness to his doctrine of the Trinity. So folks who are interested in Edwards, I think, would enjoy this book.
Oh, fascinating. Again, this is by Matthew Levering, The Theology of Augustine, An Introductory Guide to His Most Important Works, published by Baker Academic, and it's available now. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. We want to thank everybody for listening to the Reformed Media Review.